I'm Farai Chidea, and this is News and Notes. For generations, Americans lived by the one-drop rule. That is, whoever had one drop of black blood was black. It was a very expedient rule when it came to slavery. It meant, among other things, that fathers could enslave their own children under the full measure of the law. Today, our understanding of race is evolving. Barack Obama's race for the White House also spurred a conversation about what it means to be biracial and how that affects our understanding of blackness. Writer Francie Latour took a look at her own assumptions about race and identity in a recent article for the Boston-based Lola magazine. She's the associate editor of Wellesley magazine and a former reporter for the Boston Globe. Hi, Francie.
Hi, Farai. Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for coming on. So in the May issue of Lola, you write about your family. You're black. Your husband is white. You've got two young children. And before you had children, you told your husband that any kids you had together would be black, no matter how light or dark their skin was. So how did your husband react?
He was speechless. and angry. You know, my husband has a very strong sense of rootedness in his own Irish-American identity. And so, and I think it's just very difficult outside of the African-American context to understand the history and the impact and the sort of staying power of the one-drop rule that you described. And basically, he responded by saying, well, they're going to be half white, too. And I just wasn't sure where to go from there because that seems like an impossibility to me, the notion of being half white, or it did until Barack Obama.
So you yourself are coming from a perspective where in some ways your idea of blackness is one that you shared with most African Americans, where, you know, we were just raised to think, well, black is black, no matter how light, no matter how dark, no matter how mixed, black is black. What prompted you to reevaluate this specifically, you know, in the Obama campaign and in the course of the presidential election?
Well, as I saw Barack Obama gain momentum over the past several months, I really started to feel more optimistic that something was changing in this country. And I guess the pivotal moment for me was the moment when he gave his race speech in Philadelphia. And I've always been very torn about this idea that people who are biracial or multiracial in this country can sort of self-identify, can just sort of choose from a menu of identities and have that be the end of the story. I think race, the experience of race in this country, no matter how diluted or concentrated, is very much an experience of the dominant society, white society, kind of telling you who you are. But what I, when I saw him give his race speech and sort of talk about how he had sort of absorbed and how he contains all of these different identities, in such an authentic and deeply abiding way, it really started to change my sense of the limitations of race in the American context.
Let's talk a little bit more about your family and your children. You live in a small town, and you say that you've been mistaken for your children's nanny since, for example, your three-year-old can look, and these are your words, Mayan, Polynesian, or Native American. So I'm just curious, what did you say to somebody who mistook you for your child's nanny?
I actually said I wasn't the nanny. Sometimes it gets asked explicitly, and other times it's asked more subtly. For example, people will come up to me and say, "He's so cute. Is he yours?" With a very,
he said, "I just borrowed him."
Right. I'm gonna have to give him back. And so I don't know why, but it's only happened about a half a dozen times. But each time, I'm completely shocked because, it's always sort of in some kind of random context that I'm not entirely prepared for because I'm just out with my kids in the world, living my life, going to the post office or the dry cleaners. And I think, you know, a lot of it is the product of the fact that, you know, my children are quite, they're quite fair-skinned. I mean, they're quite light. I don't think that anyone looking at them, my son is 3, my daughter is 6-month-old, would look at them and say, that's a black baby or that's a black toddler. And I think that probably generates a lot of the confusion or assumptions. But it works both ways, too. My husband was just out with our 3-year-old, and a black woman who was a nanny for a white child thought that my son was the son of the Brazilian woman who was standing behind my husband. So I think the assumptions can work both ways, but I mean, I think that, again, goes to the staying power of people's assumptions about race. You know, to some people it seems improbable that I'm my children's mother, and to other people it seems improbable that my husband is their father.
And, you know, I think that, you know, in general, it might be the kind of thing where you think, oh, maybe African Americans would be more enlightened or more accepting because we do have people of so many different shades within our community. But I was with a friend who is mixed race black, and someone walked up and complimented her on her child and noticed that her child was black. And my friend was like, and so's the mother, you know. So and this was a black woman who made the comment. So, I mean, you know, do you ever feel like within the black community that you also face these challenges of negotiating people's expectations?
As a parent or as well, I mean,
as a parent or as a wife or both?
Well, I mean, how can I answer that? I spend a lot of time at home, especially now that I have kids. So I'm mostly confronting these situations that involve white people making assumptions about me and my children. You know, when we go into Boston, both with my kids and with my husband when he was, you know, my boyfriend or my fiance or whatever, and we were living in the city, yes, I think, you know, we certainly got our fair share of double takes and then some, and not very subtle either, by blacks, which I also find just as disconcerting, if not more so.
You mentioned towards the end of your article that you are hopeful but not necessarily convinced that everything is moving in the right direction racially. Why do you think that?
Well, I really just don't know. You know, I am very hopeful because I think that, you know, my biggest fear as a parent is that my kids will somehow feel squeezed between these two identities and feel forced to choose one. And there are many stories of, you know, friends and acquaintances of mine who are biracial who go through these stages of, you know, rejecting their black parent or feeling embarrassed by their black parent, and then, you know, reading Malcolm X freshman year in college and then rejecting their white parent. I mean, it's a very common thing, or it's not uncommon at least. And I think Barack Obama, not just his candidacy, his existence, really, shows us a way out of that and beyond that. And that makes me feel extremely optimistic. But I, again, you know, all you have to do is look at some of the headlines lately between Obama and Clinton to know that race is still a very powerful kind of toxic thing.
Well, Francie, I want to thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Francie Latour is an associate editor at Wellesley Magazine and a former reporter for the Boston Globe. She wrote about racial identity for Lola Magazine.